As Pastor John mentioned, and as you can tell, it is a special weekend as we celebrate Confirmation, as we celebrate the Reformation. I also appreciate Pastor John's confession that perhaps the red for Reformation had an alternative meaning. Confession is good for the soul. You know, Reformation is a powerful time in the life of our church as we work through the church seasons, as we celebrate these church holidays. And so often, one of the problems that comes along with it is that we think it's this one moment thing, that somehow the Reformation is about a person or an event or an idea or a theology. And we just kind of revisit that. But the reality is, Reformation should be a part of our daily lives. Reformation should, in fact, be a lifestyle. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 complaints to the door, there was a lot he had to say in those moments. But perhaps one of the messages to the church and to us was change or die. That the life of a disciple always involves reformation. We come and we celebrate this Confirmation weekend. We celebrate our youth who have worked hard for 2 years to prepare for this day, to prepare to be confirmed, to prepare to take ownership of their own faith, to stand up here, to reaffirm the baptism that their parents came and brought them before us, to take ownership, to engage with the grace of God, to remember this covenant that God has given us. And it's an opportunity for us as well, whether we're a long ways until this moment of confirmation, or we've long since been confirmed, or we've never had that experience, to confirm our own faith as well, to think about our own faith in Jesus Christ, to think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You see, one of the difficulties with confirmation is that we see it as a graduation. And as long as I'm alive, I will continue to bark on this day, every day, for every year. But that is not, in fact, true. The confirmation is not a graduation. As I was with several of our youth Saturday morning, we were feeding the homeless downtown, engaging in serving breakfast, handing out lunch and socks, and spending time in conversation and prayer with some of the homeless friends of our community. I looked around and I watched, and I noticed some of our older youth that have been confirmed years ago and watched and saw that they're very much not done. They haven't graduated in their following of Jesus. They've not graduated the youth group, church, or their relationship with God. And I look to those who are in this confirmation process now as they continue forward to this moment in their own lives where their families and friends can gather and celebrate. And I recognize that they too continue on this journey of faith. That for them there isn't a time that we get to graduate God, that we get to graduate the church. But that's not just the way it works. In fact, for you parents who have worked so hard for this moment, the work isn't over. As you know, not only as a parent, but as you continue to point your children to the Lord Jesus Christ, the work is far from over. In fact, all the recent studies that talk about children's faith in college and beyond point to one very important truth. When it comes to the spiritual lives of our children, we as parents get what we are. We get what we are. Our relationship with Jesus Christ matters. It matters to our children. It matters to our youth. It matters beyond their graduation. It matters deeply. And even if confirmation were graduation, there's something about graduations that are amazing. They move us from one season to another. And yet, as we move forward in seasons, it seems that each season becomes just a little more challenging, requires just a little bit more of us. When I think about my own life, there is a distinct difference between my graduation from high school and graduating the diaper phase of parenting. That there's a sense in which as we continue to move forward, the responsibility, the connection with God only continues, it only increases. And so perhaps one of the greatest challenges to me as a parent, as a pastor, is recognizing that my own relationship with Jesus Christ matters deeply. Not just for me and for the work I do, but for my children. And not just while they're young and not until they're confirmed, and not just after they're confirmed, and not just when they're in college, but beyond. There's always anomalies. There's always exceptions as the community of faith comes together to build our children up. But as parents, as adults who have influence over children and youth, our relationship with God matters deeply. And as a church, we get what we are. And yet there's something else about this day, as I think about this day, and this idea of Reformation. The beautiful gospel message is that we have been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that same Lord Jesus Christ calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Him. It's the beautiful paradox of our faith. It's the beauty of the new covenant that Jesus has made with us. We are saved. We are reformed. But this new covenant that we engage with is a covenant that requires something of us. We are participants in this covenant. We come to this communion table each week, not out of habit, not out of ritual, but to engage with, to embrace, to remember the grace, the love, and the forgiveness of God, and to recognize this new covenant that says to us, there is more. There is more as we engage with the grace of God as a people who have been saved. A while back, I read a book called Reformed and Always Reforming. It's the title of the sermon today. It was a good book, but there was an awful lot of power in the title, and I've been thinking about that ever since. What does it mean to be reformed and always reforming? What does it mean for me as a follower of Jesus Christ to know that I am reformed, I am saved by the grace of God, I am a part of the family of God, the community of faith, and yet I'm always reforming? What does it mean for me as a father, as a pastor, as somebody involved in the community, to be reformed and always reforming? What does it mean for the Church of Jesus Christ in the world? For Bethel, for our city, for our country, for our world, that we are reformed and always reforming. What does that really mean? You see, the best news, the greatest news in the history of the world is that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us by grace. It's nothing that we do, nothing that we have done. We are saved. We are reformed. The church is reformed. But that's not all, because there's better news. Because there's more. I have a wonderful and beautiful life. I rejoice with the many blessings that I have. But there's a part of me that always wants and hopes for some more. There's a part of me, there's a part of us that says, this can't be all that there is. There must be more. That's the reforming. You see, because if we say that just being reformed, being saved by grace, the beautiful, most important message of the world, is enough, we miss out. We're saying to God, thank you very much. You've done a good job. I'm finished. I'm good. I'm all set. I'm done. I've arrived. When we forget the reforming part, that's the message. When we forget that we are reformed and always reforming, when we don't choose to continue to be reformed, to continue to be changed and made new, we don't fully engage and embrace the grace of God for us in our lives. You see, to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple, by definition, is one who follows, who's willing to learn, who's willing to grow, who's willing to change. And change is hard. Yet, we continue to be a people who are constantly reforming. In fact, Wednesday night, I was in here with one of our confirmants who had missed our rehearsal, and his parent had said, hey, is it like the baptism when we do the confirmation service and we have the response and the congregation has the response? And quick to have my good Lutheran answer, I said, oh, no, no, you know, they're taking ownership for their own faith. This is for them. This is them engaging with this. You know, the congregation doesn't have a response to baptism. We talk about raising them up in the church. Good answer. All right? Good Lutheran answer. Good. It's a good answer. But as I thought about this over the weekend, I realized that basically we're dead wrong. Because the journey continues for the parents, for us as a congregation, for the adults that are in their lives. Not only in our own faith, but in the faith of these confirmants. That their faith continues in our role in their lives as a model, as a follower of Jesus, as one who seeks to point them to that Jesus continues. Because we are a people who have been reformed, but we're always reforming. You see, life is full. But is life busy or is life abundant? Because there's a big difference. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus talks about the abundant life, he's talking about this idea that we're to be reformed, that we're always reforming. You see, there's regular old living, there's just life, and there's abundant living. And abundant living is only possible with Jesus Christ. Abundant life is only possible in Jesus Christ. That's the only way, that's the only place it's possible. Because it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done and what God continues to do in each and every one of us. And thank God that the story of Scripture is that we're not done yet. That God has more for us, for our families, for our friends, for those we love, for strangers, for our world. Thank God the message is that we are reformed, we are saved by grace, we win. But that there's more, and we can continue to be reformed. We can always be a people who are reforming. And that's the difference between busy life and abundant life. That's the difference between simply living and living fully, living with abundance. And we're free to choose. We're free to choose how much we want to engage with the grace of God. We're free to choose how much we want to engage with the greatest love story ever told. It's our choice. Are we going to be a people who are reformed and always reforming? I want you to take out your bulletins and open to the scripture in the back there. You know, one of the great things, you know, I love talking about a topic and thinking about it and having some scriptures for it. I love the opportunity sometimes to walk through all of our scriptures, although if I did that now, we'd be here a really long time and the football fans would be upset. And so I want to encourage you to read these Reformation passages this week. To think about what these words, the promises that God remembers our sin no more, the promises not about the law means to us. But I want to point you to the gospel lesson, to this gospel of John. And I want to walk through this for just a couple minutes and have us think about this gospel story. And Jesus is talking right away to those who believed in him. Friends. He's amongst friends here, okay? So to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, all right? If you believe what I say, if you're good and obedient, then you're really my disciples. Now, you have to understand, in this passage, the Jewish friends of Jesus are taking what he's saying very literally, all right? So when he says this, they're like, okay, we're good and we're obedient. We obey the law, kind of like in the Roman passage. We're good, law-abiding, religious folks. All right, we do what we're supposed to do. We're good people. But Jesus is pointing to a little more here, as you'll see, because it's not just about obeying the law. It's about being about the same things that matter to Jesus. It's about having your heart beat for the things that Jesus' heart beats for. It's about following after this Jesus and his life and his model. And then Jesus goes on to say, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This, again, they're taking very literally. The truth is the law, and being faithful, and having good character, and being obedient, and having good religious observance. That is the truth. But Jesus is on to something else here, because the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is a relationship with that Jesus Christ. You see, both matter, but Jesus is pointing out here that one matters a whole lot more. That the truth is in this relationship with Jesus Christ and who this Christ is. And so they're very confused. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free?" They're thinking about their heritage. They're good. They've never been a slave. Nobody in their family's ever been a slave. Why are you saying we need to be set free? They don't get it. They're missing the point. They don't realize that what Jesus is after here is not heritage, not place and culture, not obedience and faithfulness. All those things are good. He's after a relationship. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you," and Jesus has this way of replying that's always good. This would have quieted me real quick. "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Oh. And as I think about my own life and my mistakes and my own sin, I don't like that verse. But the truth shall set us free. And when we recognize our sin, all of a sudden the gift that we have been reformed is more powerful. And the recognition that we need to continue to be a people who are reforming is more meaningful. And he says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." In other words, I am the God of the universe. I am a part of God's family. And because I have reformed you, welcome to the table. Welcome home. It's not what you do, folks. It's what I've already done. It's what I'm about to do. And so a verse that we think about often, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Again, Jesus is after more here than perhaps his audience is understanding. Jesus is after something a little different. You see, we love freedom in our country, freedom to worship, freedom to have our opinion, freedom in all sorts of ways, and that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing that comes by the grace of God. But there's more to this than that. You see, because Jesus says there's more to that freedom. It's the freedom of knowing that you are saved by grace, that I have saved you, that I love you, that you are a part of my family. It's the freedom to make choices, to choose whether you just simply want to be reformed or you want to be someone who celebrates that you're reformed, but continue to be reformed, continue to be changed, continue to be made new, continue to engage with the love and grace with God, continue to come to the table and recognize the love of God in your life. You see, it's that freedom to choose whether or not we will simply live or live abundantly. It's that freedom to choose that abundant life. And so my hope for us, for me, for my family, for those I know and love, for strangers across every corner of God's creation, is that we would celebrate and recognize this Sunday and each and every day and moment of our life that God loves us, that we have been saved by His grace alone. And yet there's more to the story, there's more to this world, there's more for us. And we can continue to be reformed, continue to be changed, continue to be made new. So that we might walk closer and closer to that abundant life that the God of the universe has in store for us. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day and this chance to gather and to worship you. God, help us to be a people who celebrate the Reformation, not just in the church, but in our own lives, to celebrate the grace that you have given us, that nothing we have done has saved us, but you have saved us out of love, through grace. God, help us to be a people who are always reforming, always being made new, so that our lives and the world around us may be different. In Jesus' name, amen.